The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, it says that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not their lives unto death. So I have a question for my American neighbors. What is your testimony in Christ? You just go to church and believe what the pastors and priests tell you that are full of lies. Is your testimony that you've been born again by the Spirit of God? That you've lost your life to follow Jesus Christ? If you don't have a biblical testimony, it means you're not born of God. It means when you die, you're going to face the wrath of God. Church does not save anyone. You must follow Christ in spirit and truth. You must seek the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek after that which is pure, true, good, worthy, noble. Philippians 4:8, all of the word of God is Jesus' word. And then he said, seek the kingdom of God and righteousness, his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. What are you seeking today? Living for the world, you're not seeking after the kingdom of God. Entertainment is not seeking the kingdom of God. Living like the culture is not seeking the kingdom of God. Test yourself while there's time. Judgment is coming. Do not be deceived. God's going to dole out to everyone that which is coming to them. Although those who repent by the blood of the Lamb and confess their sin and turn from their sin, they will find eternal life, not living in willful sin and wickedness. But if you live in churchianity and the culture and false ways and pride and vanity and flesh and pagan holidays and false Sunday church, which is all the churches in America, Jesus is coming to separate his sheep from the goats. If you attend Sunday church services, you are a goat that must repent and come out to be born a sheep of God. You must be born into the body of Christ. You don't attend church. You lose your life to follow Christ. You don't sit in a pew. You trade your life of worldliness and sin for the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then you walk in a righteous life, not a worldly life, not a carnal life, not a sinful life. You have a question.
Yeah, so
sir, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you a mocker?
No.
Okay, good. Can I give you a gospel card? Because I love you.
Absolutely.
All right, how can I help you? Hey, that ice cream looks really good.
It is good.
How can I help you?
So that lady down there.
That's my wife.
Okay, so
her name's Amen.
She told us that praying wasn't enough.
That praying wasn't enough. Yeah. Absolutely true.
Really?
It's not enough.
Man.
So let me ask you a question. Any of you guys married?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. Do you believe marriage is a covenant?
I do.
Okay. Between a man and a woman?
Yes.
Okay, so my wife and I are in a covenant?
Yeah.
Did you know that Jesus died and shed his blood and we're in a blood covenant with him?
Yes,
so,
sir.
And what's the definition of a covenant? This is really going to help you, young man.
Can't break it.
Well, yeah, you can't break it. Covenant is an agreement of two parties.
Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Any of you guys ever want to get married?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, yeah.
What if you find a woman that you go, wow, I really want to marry her. You marry her. And in the first year, you find out she's sleeping, because we're all old enough to talk about this. She's sleeping with five other guys. Maybe she's sleeping with your best friend.
No, I wouldn't marry her.
No, you've already married her.
Oh.
And ready?
Divorce.
Wait. Ready. And she comes to you when you catch her. And you say, man, look, I got pictures. You're going to hotels. You're hanging out with five other guys. What are you doing? And you know what she says? But I pray every day, honey.
That's suspicious.
So I have a question. You wouldn't just overlook her sin because she prays, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So how about your sin that you keep doing and you want God to overlook it just because you pray?
That's a good point.
See, we're in a covenant. We're the bride. He's our bridegroom. He shed his blood for us. The church systems teach you. You guys go to church?
Yeah.
What can I ask, like, what one?
Cargill United Methodist.
Okay, Methodist. Made of man, There are all those traditions of men, was invented by men. They keep pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter, that God never ordained. They teach you, I mean, look at you guys. I don't want to be mean-spirited, but they teach you. You can live, act, and be like the world, but just go to church on Sunday and pray and you're good to go. Well, can your wife go out and be a whore and then just tell you, I cooked you an 8-course meal and I prayed. You gonna let all the whoredom go?
No, I wouldn't let that slide.
Well, why is God gonna let you slide then?
That's true.
So you gotta come out of every false way. Would any of you guys like a gospel card?
How do you repent your sins?
How do you repent?
How do you repent your sins?
Well, that's a great question. Repentance is metanoia. It's a changing of your mind. I don't want to give it to you unless you want it. Okay. Because it's got why the church is false. It's got the gospel on one side and why the church systems are false. And I'm no better than you guys.
I agree with you.
I look different, but I'm no better than you, but I am different, okay? I'm very different than the world, but I'm no better. And I'm not a perfect man. I can still sin, but here, and I'll get to your repentance. But guess what? You know when I sin? Let me give an example. Men come by and they spit on my wife, or they get in her face and yell and scream at her. Do you think that gets me in my flesh?
Yeah,
I want to step between them. And I'm an old fighter, and I admit it. I confess to people. I want to take his nose and put it where his ear is. Is that godly?
No.
So I repent of that. I don't carry it out and do it. So repentance is when you decide something sinful, you change your mind about it, and then what else do you have to change?
You don't do it.
Stop doing it. So your wife, if she's cheating and you say, I'm going to forgive her, and you're not married, but we're just using a story here, an analogy. If you decide to forgive her, this is a great analogy. Oh, what's your first name?
Alex.
Alex, please, please forgive me, Alex. I didn't know. Please, please forgive me. And you go, well, I've sinned a lot too. Okay, I forgive you. What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do?
Stop
the dues. What if she says, oh, thank you for forgiving me, Alex. I'm still going to go back and see him twice a year.
I'd be like, no.
Right. So if we tell God we repent, but we're going to keep sinning, what is God going to say?
No.
Your heart's not right. So the gospel is Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. By his shed blood, we can be cleansed. By his resurrection, you guys are all young. You look like about 20? Okay, so you're getting close there. I'm old, so it's hard for me to judge. Everybody looks young compared to me. By Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood heals. His blood will cleanse you if you'll repent and leave your sin. His death makes a way to defeat death because death's coming for you. Any of you young men know anybody that's died young?
Yeah.
Guys break their neck in football, die. They die in car accidents, drug overdoses, get shot, all kinds of die of cancer. Why will God let you into his kingdom today if you die? Because you go to church? A false man-made church system that my card proves it's false.
We have to repent our sins.
You gotta come by the blood of Jesus, repent of all known sin, be cleansed by it. Ready? Do any of you guys think you've been born again?
No.
Do you know what that means? Thank you for your honesty. Do you know what born again means? You asked a good question. Do you think you know what born again means? The Bible says born from above, Jesus said. What do you think that means? Yeah, it means, do you guys think that your life growing up, you had a worldly, carnal, sinful heart? Does it always lead you to sin?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible teaches. When you're born again, God changes your stony, cold, sinful heart. He gives you a new heart. I used to be a fighter and a drunk and an idolater. God changed my heart. Now I love and care for you. I could have cared less about you before God. Why? I'm going hunting, fishing, drinking. What do I care about you? Now I spend my time, my life, this is what my wife and I do, to reach young people and anybody that'll listen, to tell them that wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. Jesus came as a baby in a manger. His wrath is coming soon. He's going to come and judge in flaming fire all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. So by faith in his shed blood, repentance, you're born from above. He changes your heart and your mind. Now the fruit, you're born from above. If your wife loves you, what's the fruit? She's faithful to you.
Yeah.
You're faithful to her. Yeah. So now we're faithful to God, and you go, is this Methodist faith biblical? I'm testing everything. Christmas, Paul and Peter and John, they didn't keep Christmas. It's a pagan holiday. Roman Catholic started it. Easter, it's a false holiday. And by holiness and obedience, then you have to endure. That's the biblical gospel. It's on my card.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Is hunting and fishing a sin?
No. Hunting, let me answer that. Hold on. Let me answer that. There's a long answer and short answer. If you're hungry and you need a fish, did Peter in the Bible fish for a living?
Yes.
Love you. Peter fished, right, to make a living, to catch fish, to eat. Yeah. Was Peter fishing for trophy bass to hang on his wall?
No.
How about deer hunting? Can you go out and shoot a deer because you want to feed your wife and your children and throw that meat in the freezer?
Yeah.
But what if you spend 10 hours in the tree stand looking for a giant buck to brag and have pride about?
No. Sin.
What if you still eat it?
If you still eat it, but you're prideful.
You respect it.
Yeah, and you're prideful. Here's the thing. What becomes an idol is whatever you spend more time on than God and the kingdom of God. So if you spend hours and hours in a tree stand, but you throw God scraps by going to church and just reading the Bible and not obeying his word, God knows your heart and your intentions. He knows if you love hunting and fishing more than you love him. I used to be a hunting and fishing idolater. I lived for that. God changed my heart. Can I go catch a fish now and feed my family? Yeah. Can I shoot a deer and feed people? Yeah. Do I do it as an idle hobby anymore? No. Guess what I'm doing?
Teaching kids.
If I was out fishing today, because I'm retired, I don't have to work. I support myself. If I was out fishing, would I meet you guys and be calling you to the gospel?
No.
There you go. So what is more important in your life, hunting and fishing or the kingdom of God?
The kingdom of God.
Does that make sense? So you got to repent. You got to come out of every false way. Yes, sir.
Is being gay a sin?
Is being gay a sin?
Yeah.
Bold.
Yeah. What truth do we go by? Do we go by my word, your word, the culture's word, or God's word?
God's word.
Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4, right?
Yeah.
Jesus said we live by God's word. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says that homosexuality, sodomy, is a sin.
Amen.
It's outside of the natural order of God. Do you believe that?
I believe that.
Okay. And now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was in Hayward at the Muskie Festival last weekend, and two lesbians came up and asked me. I never preach on homosexuality. A lot of street preachers go out and call them names and target it. I don't. You know why? She was shocked. She goes, I'm a lesbian. Will I go to hell? And I said, you're asking me if that's sin? And I said, it is. And she was shocked. I didn't attack her for that sin. You know what I told her? I said, but if you repent of homosexuality today and stop it, I said, isn't there other sins that are going to send you to hell? And she goes, oh, yeah. I said, do you lie? She goes, yeah. I said, have you ever stolen anything? Yeah. Do you look with lust? Yeah. Are you loving the world more than God? Yeah. So people focus on homosexuality because it's a big cultural issue, but your lies, drunkenness, worldliness, carnality, pride and vanity. Let me go there for a second. Homosexuality, the Bible says, is an abomination in the Old Testament. It does. That means God hates it. Do you know what else God hates? This is going to strike all you guys. You know what else God hates? Proverbs 6:17, a proud look is an abomination. What do you think that means?
Us.
Us. You're the last guy I would think would know that answer because you seem like you're less interested. You may be the guy's. That's the exact answer. If we dress, ready? I don't look like I'm not a big guy, but guess what I used to be? Bodybuilder. I used to spend more time looking in the mirror than 27 women combined, wearing muscle shirts, walking around showing off. Huh? I don't even remember a lot. I used to just wait. I ruined my body bench pressing, squatting, all this stuff. Here's the thing. That's pride. You know what God says we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be humble and lowly in how we dress and live and act. Who are we supposed to magnify? Christ. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived. Jesus said he was the greatest man that ever lived. John said, I must decrease so Christ can increase. So your life, God gives you breath. He gave you life. He gives you earth to walk on. This is his footstool. Every heartbeat is from God. God says, give me glory. You're created in my image. Give me glory. If you don't give God glory, what do you think you're going to give glory? Yourself, the culture, sports, entertainment. How about Packer Nation? You guys all probably like football. You think that's of God, or is that violent, covetous, rowdy, worldly, and carnal?
Yeah, it is.
So are we sinning against God when we take our body that we claim is a temple? If you're born, you said you're not born again, but when you are born again, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we take it and we dress it in pride and vanity, and then we go and do sports. Which one? Are we holy or are we worldly and carnal? You got to be holy to make it to the kingdom of God. So appreciate you guys listening. My website teaches for free. I don't want your money. My email's on there. Thousands of articles. You've got to come out of the culture. Sports, movies, politics, entertainment, that's not of God. It's Satan's kingdom. You're walking in Satan's kingdom. You must enter the kingdom of God through the gospel. And then you must come out of every false way. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 7, if you worship me in false man-made traditions, you go into the Methodist church, you're worshiping God in vain. Jesus said it's in vain. Your wife cooking you an 8-course dinner while she's sleeping with other men, that's in vain. You don't want that meal. You want her faithfulness. So be faithful to God, be holy, be righteous, and you can only do that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. I love talking to young men that... Can I give you a gospel card? That aren't mockers. Thank you for being respectful. And if you have any challenges, any questions, send me an email. I love to talk to people. I teach online. Come out of the world. Come out of this false religion.
All right, see you later, man.
We love you.
All right, thank you.
God be praised.
Love you.
Well, there's another example of why we come out here. four young men. Let me set the stage for this. So we're out here holding gospel signs, and I'm preaching, Sister Amon's talking to people, and 99% of the people walk right by it, ignore, smirk, mock. And then every once in a while, happened yesterday about six times. Yesterday was a good day. Six times is a good day. Several times today. Actually, no, that's the first time today. Four men, 17 years old, come walking up to me. And they're worldly-looking young men. They admit it. They're churchgoers, Methodist church. And they come up and said, we want to ask you some questions. And you heard it on this audio. This is why we go. This is why we come. This is why we lift up the gospel in the streets. If I'm out fishing, if I'm out sitting at home on my homestead that I used to own, how am I going to meet those four men and quicken them to the gospel, quicken them to the truth of God's word, call them out of the culture? How's that going to happen? Romans 10 talks about how will they hear without a preacher? So that's why we go. That's why we do what we do. People say, oh, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work to fill up buildings. We're not trying to fill up buildings. That's what the false churches do. We're trying to reach people out in the culture that may be sheep that are going to be future sheep. We just planted a whole bunch of seeds in those young men, and we are here ready to help them if they want more. Thank you, Father, for using us in that glorious way. Here I come up to Sister Amon. Sister Amon,
yeah.
I'm on audio. I was just telling these people that are listening, I'm on the corner. I just walked down there. Four 17, 18-year-old men, very worldly looking. They said, we're worldly. They're all dressed in Hawaiian shirts and shorts. They said, we want to ask you questions. I talked to them for about 10 minutes. They were respectful. They asked about repentance. They asked, hey, we have friends that are gay. Is that sinful? And the one young man said, yeah, I'm in a Methodist church. He goes, I see what you're saying. It's full of hypocrisy. And I got to fill up four young men with the truth of God. Ready? Three of them seemed really interested. You're going to love this, Sister Amon. I'm putting this on the audio.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
I witnessed to them a little bit.
Yeah.
I said, you go look for my husband. He's
They walked up to me. They said, hey, the lady down there said praying isn't enough. And they said, is that true? And I said, yeah, that's my wife, and she's right. And that's how we started witnessing. So you set them up for me, Sister Amon.
They walked by me several times. Yeah.
Ready? So the three young men, one guy I could tell, he didn't take a gospel, and he goes, I don't want one. I said, okay. I said, only take them if you want them. They go, yeah, we want one. Three guys took them. So I'm talking to him, and the one guy, this guy that didn't want the gospel card, he's kind of eating his ice cream, and he's kind of fidgeting, and you could tell he's not interested. And I said, hey, guys, I said, do you think if you're born of God, you're supposed to be worldly or holy? And the one young guy listened, he goes, oh, you should be holy. And I said, yeah. And I said, what do you think the opposite worldly is? And the guy that you think is not listening, he's fidgeting, he's looking around, he goes, that's us. And I said, what? He goes, we're worldly. And I looked at him, he wasn't mocking, and I said, that's exactly right. I said, I didn't even think you were listening. I said, that's a great answer. And so it just goes to show you, and I was just hearing on the audio, why we come and do this. Sister Amon met them on another corner, set them up for me.
Actually, a few times they came by, and I was talking to them on the way by.
Yeah, so they are seekers in some sense. We planted seeds. They're 17. 20, 30 years from now, we could be dead in the grave, and they may come to themselves and start serving Christ and preaching the gospel. This is why we go and we do this.
That warms my heart, because the first time they mocked and laughed and I warned them. The second time they come by, one said he prays.
Yeah.
I told them that's not enough, and I was able to give them quite a bit all the way along. They came by one more time and I told him, I said, he's down on the other corner.
Yeah. Ready?
Praise God.
He comes up, he says, she said praying isn't enough. And I said, let me give you a story. And I asked him, I said, if you get married, do you want to get married? He said, yeah. I said, if your wife is running with five other dudes, maybe your best friend sleeping with her, but she comes home and cooks you an 8-course meal and says, but honey, I pray a lot. I said, will that be enough? He goes, no, I wouldn't want her. I said, why does God want you if you want to continue sinning and you just pray? He goes, that's a really good point.
Well, they got a lot
of truth. So it was awesome. It's on audio, and I just wanted to share that.
Oh,
so
my heart is rejoicing over that.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to keep walking. Good job, Sister Amon.
Yeah, praise God. I'm not going to have a voice like you.
It happens all the time. Sister Amon will talk to people and kind of set them up and say, go see my husband. And they come, and they find me. Thank you, Father, for your glorious word, your truth, and letting us proclaim it to the lost people out here.